Paddy Power presents From the Horse's Mouth.
There goes day one, done and dusted. Mocktail got the Royal Ascot Week off to not really a flyer for punters, maybe a better result for the bookmaker. Circus Maximus in a tight finish eventually got the better of Terrabellum in the Queen Anne, getting eventually Mr. John Gosden to the half century. He doubled up later on the card with Nazee. Frankly Darling, Frankly Wonderful, bit of a shock in the King Edward VII. Batash was good and so was Coeur de Lion in the Ascot Stakes. But for now, we move on to day two. Delighted to be joined by Frank Hickey, Ruby Walsh and Paddy Power, who have taken a break from their respective days in front of the television, quaffing champagne, enjoying the action. Unless, Frank, you were doing a bit of work, were you?
I've been up the walls all day, yeah. No champagne. I barely had time for a cup of tea, Tom.
They say if Frank was back in his old fucking tips, he'd be walking for a long time.
Paddy, you were enjoying yourself, were you? You were sipping champagne somewhere nice?
We were over my brother's house because normally the family would be over at Ascot today, and today was always the day Sole Power ran, so everybody usually goes over, and the tradition is that we kept going. So we all got together today and my brother put us up, and we've had a couple of glasses, and I'm very good now, a couple of glasses of champagne, but it's very hot. So I'm glad to be wearing shorts and t-shirts today.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting out and enjoying the sunshine myself. I've been cooped up inside all day. Ruby, what have you been doing? Have you been watching the racing?
I was watching the racing, following Frank's tips race by race. Back the 3 mile hurdler in the first race. The day kind of continued on a progressive downhill slope until Verdana Blue got chinned in the last, which was my fancy. But looking forward to day two because day one was not one to remember.
Well, onwards we go. Chin up, Ruby. Where the first race we're going to look at is actually the second race. Doesn't really make sense, but for the purposes of our podcast, it does. And Frank, first receiver tops the market, and it could be a royal winner at Royal Ascot, couldn't it, in the Hampton Court?
Yeah, he was quite impressive on his last run at Kempton and bolted up. The time actually compared favourably with Nazif. He was only 0.44 seconds slower, even though he was kind of eased up. And obviously, she's franked the form by winning. Well, not franked the form. She's won the Duke of Cambridge today, so, you know, it's compared favourably. He caught the eye on debut Newmarket, finishing third behind Almadar and Al Suhail. There's loads of runners or winners behind him as well. Sard, Dupas, Asashi, Tamani. Stout horse are rarely wound up first time. The step up and triple suit. You're just hoping not too much more rain falls. I think he wants decent ground, but as long as it's not proper soft, I think he's the one to beat. It'll just worry you for Aidan O'Brien's horses that with Russian Emperor, that Mogul was turned over today at a short price. So, yeah, first receiver looks the one that probably take all the beating. The only thing I would say is Berlin Tango's win at Kempton was franked in that he beat Pile Driver at Kempton, and Pile Driver was the one who won the King Edward today. So, but first receiver's the one to beat, I think.
Ruby, are you with or against the favourite in the Hampton Court?
I'm not sure if I'm with or against, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be at all worried about Edna Bryan's horse. Mogul disappointed, but Circus Maximus certainly didn't. Neither did Dennis Simon or Passion. They were second and third. So I would have no worry about Edna Bryan's horses. If you're just going to go through Mogul, I think that's a bad selection of picking one horse out. I just wouldn't be worried about them in general. I prefer Juana Elcano. I thought Juana Elcano ran a cracking race in the 2000 Guineas. Triatini booked it out. It blazed along at the head of the 2,000 guineas at a breakneck speed. I think if they can control the tempo a bit better with Juan Elcano, that'd be the one for me. I think it has the highest level of form in the race.
Paddy, in your respective entire lives, who do you reckon has drank more champagne, you or the Queen?
She's a good bit older than me, but there's zero chance she's drank as much as the...
You've got the volume, have you?
I have the volume, I think, yeah. I went hard early a few years ago, but I've calmed down a lot now.
Good man. What's your thoughts on the Hampton Court?
I'm agreeing with Frank. And actually, the notes I have scribbled here, I'm quite impressed with myself. It actually is very similar to what Frank said. I said a very impressive last time at Kempton, and it's unusual for a stout horse to be fully wound up first time. So it suggests there's plenty more to come, owned by the Queen, all that kind of stuff. So first receiver looks quite obvious, and it's 9-4, short enough, but I think it's the one to beat.
Very good. We will gloss over the King George V and come back to it at the end. 3 o'clock is the next race we're going to look at the 10 furlong Group One, that is the Prince of Wales Stakes. Ruby Japan 5-4, the top of the market. Adabe 9-2, 13-2 Headman, 15-2 Lord North, 8-1 and Bigger the Rest. You're not worried about Aidan O'Brien's horses, so is Japan a good thing at 5-4?
I think he is. I know Adabe, to be a drop of rain, is probably coming into people's reckonings, but I don't think there's been enough of rain. I think, I'm not sure it's that slow today. Headman, he's a fairer sort. I thought Lord North rather was very good in Haydock on his last start. He was in front for plenty long. I think he's the each way value, but I think Japan is the most likely winner.
Paddy?
Well, I was tipping up Barney Roy in this, and I know I just sort of take a flyer on him now. He's drifted right out. He was about 5-1 yesterday. He's out to 8-1 now. And Japan, the score where you'd be the drop of rain. Now, Ruby's, I always overreact to the amount of weather, so or the amount of rain or that they talk about and how the ground changes. So maybe they've overreacted to Adabe as well, because he doesn't necessarily want it very soft, but that's the reason why you would have backed him. He was 9-1 the other day, and he's into 9-2 now. But I think I'm going to stick with Barney Roy, not hugely kind of confidently, but at about 8-1, and if he's still on the drift, might just throw a few quid on him.
Francis?
Yeah, I think this race is dependent on how much rain falls tomorrow. There is some rain forecast to hit during racing. If they get a bit and it gets a bit softer, it'll obviously play to Dave's strength and would be a negative for particularly Barney Roy and slightly and a bit for Japan, not quite as much as for Barney Roy. I like Headman. I think he's going to progress into a Group 1 horse this year. I think he plenty went wrong in the Irish Champion Stakes at the start, and he made a big move around the bend and kind of his run flattened out. I think I wish there was 8 runnings, I'd have a few quid each way in him. It's not great when you've only got the 2 places, but there might be a small few quid in them just to upset Japan. But it purely depends what happens with the weather. If plenty of rain falls, it'll really bring a Dave into it.
Very good. In keeping with our random order, we'll move on to the 4:10, the Windsor Castle. Normally a bit of a minefield anyway, but given that every single horse in the race has only had one run, Frank, it's even harder to pick the winner. Chief Little Hawk, 9-2 favourite. Wesley Ward provides the second favourite at the moment, 5-1. It is a bit tricky to try and unpick this one, isn't it?
Very difficult. You don't want to go on. Like Chief Little Hawk was very popular. People were looking for him for Ascot Marcus before he ran on debut, and to be fair, he was quite impressive. You don't know what the Wesley Ward horse is going to be like. He has some speed balls. He has a couple that miss as well. Tactical ran well on debut. The one I'm giving a squeak at a price, and it's mainly because I rigged it on debut. I went in 100-1 and I went off 11-1, and that's as time goes by for George Bowie. Now he knew his job on debut. He broke well, got the rail, led them to about 100 yards out, and he just got nabbed late by 2 Godolphin horses. Modern News is now favourite for the Chesham, and the second Noble Dynasty costs 3.6 million and looks a nice colt as well. He's dropped a trip to 5, which I think will suit. We're paying 4 places. I'll have a small few quid each way, even though I would have probably preferred to see him drawn a little bit higher. There looked to be a little bit of a bias to the high numbers going by the Buckingham Palace on the first day. I said, it wouldn't be a confident selection now. It's a bit of a guessing game, but...
It is indeed. Paddy, would you be willing to stick your colours to the mast with anything here?
Yeah, not confidently, you can't be. The whole blindly following Wesley Ward at Ascot, so Sunshine City for me, just a big price, a big-ish price for one of his horses, 5-1. Obviously, you would think we'd prefer faster ground, but hopefully the rain hasn't got in too much for this one, and I think at 5-1, why not?
And Ruby...
Yeah, obviously what Frank says makes the most sense, and Chief Little Hawk was very impressive in Navan when he won. Yeah, he's won the race twice in the last couple of years, so he's going to be the one to beat. Sunshine City, Wesley Ward's, obviously the American 2-year-olds look very forward, but I liked Tactical. I thought he went really well in Newmarket when he was third in his debut for Andrew Balding. He's installed 20 on the stand side, 13-2. He's a good each way bet.
This year at Royal Ascot, the only royalty present are the horses, with the thoroughbreds taking the crown as well as the glory. And speaking of glory... The Premier League is back! To celebrate, Paddy Power are giving a total of £10 in free bets across the 150 Hampton Court Stakes at Ascot and Man City v Arsenal today. Hurrah! That calls for a right royal knees up. Or should that be boots up? Either works. Online exclusive. Max one £5 free bet per customer per event. New customers must deposit £5. Opt-in required. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Very good. We're going to go back and look at some of the handicaps now, Frank. But before we do, a reminder to people that there is a £5 free bet available to Paddy Power customers for the Hampton Court. So, and the usual T's and C's apply. So check out paddypower.com for that. Frank, tomorrow as well, we'll have a plethora of extra place offers for customers. And we are paying six places in the opener, which is the Silver Hunt Cup, topped by Uzo at 7-2.
Yeah, he looks tough to beat, to be honest. May Danny be the one that potentially put it up to him, but he's drawn five. And if the bias, if there is a bias like we think that potentially could be, it might just make it difficult for him. Now, he's really brave, May Danny, and he's got £10 for winning very impressively at Yarmouth. But as I said, if he was drawn high, he'd be the one to put up to Uzo. But looking at the way the draws work, Uzo's going to be tough to beat. He's a winner without a penalty, really, in that new market. He was caught on the line by Bedrock. He should have really won. He's going to go up £5 in future. He's drawn 24, so he's right on the stand side. And he handles caught on the ground as well. He's very versatile ground-wise. So, and with Richard Hannon bagging a handicap winner already in the first day and Ryan Moore booked, everything looks in place for a big run, though he has started to shorten up quite considerably in price there in the last hour. He's now just 7-2 plus.
Very good. The King George the Fifth at 225. Five places here again, Frank. Kipps tops the market 4-1, 11-2. Win O'Clock, Bright Melody 6-1, 8-1. Bodyline 9-1, Convict and 12-1, and Bigger the Rest. What do you fancy here?
I'm very keen on Win O'Clock for Roger Charlton. He's not had that many runners in the race over the years. I think since 1992, he's had 8 runners, 2 have won and 3 have placed. So he knows what type of horse it takes to win. This horse is by Australia, so he's always going to improve for stepping up past a mile. Though he did catch the eye on occasion in maidens. He finished 4th twice at Kenton and Chelmsford and finished 3rd back at Kenton again. He made his handicap debut at Haydock a couple of weeks ago off a mark of 75, and I thought he won really impressively. He didn't even get a tap of the whip off Jason Watson. He had loads in hand. He does carry a £4 penalty here, but the handicapper was raising £9, so he's £5 well in, and I'd actually be surprised if he's not at least £10 well in. I think he's very well handicapped. And with the 5 places, I'd be quite disappointed now if he didn't hit the frame.
Very good. The Hunt Cup is at 335. 7 places here, Frank. With these extra places, you are truly spoiling us. Lord Tennyson, 11-2 favourite alongside Montatham, 13-2, Bellarock, Alrajan, 9-1, 11-1, Fox Premier, 12-1, Dark Vision, 14-1, and Bigger the Rest. What do you fancy here?
Look, it's a really competitive race, you'd imagine. One where you'd have for the likes of Bellrock and Montatham. Look, with very small sample size, but they're drawn relatively low. You're guessing a little bit again with the draw, but I do think I'm kind of concentrating on the high horses, the ones drawn high. And Fox Premier, he's very likely raced. He's only 4. He's had 8 career starts. Didn't win in any of his 4 starts in maidens or novice company. Got off the mark in handicap debut, Chelmsford off 79 over 10 furlongs. Followed up with Sandown in the second start off a £6 higher mark. That form is quite strong. The second, Samim, who was only give you £2, won a listed race 2 starts later up at Hamilton. He ran the King George V Stakes at this meeting last year. I think he only went off 9-1. Didn't get a run at all. He got blocked numerous occasions and kind of coasted home. To put a line through that, he was then second at Goodwood in a good handicap behind a horse called Forest of Dean. Now, Forest of Dean was rated 93 that day. He's now rated 109, so he's gone up £16. So basically, Fox Premier had almost impossible task trying to beat him that day. He's been gelded since. He's up £2. He's drawn on the stand side, and Andrew Balding's string are still in good form. So I think with 7 places again, he makes a bit of each appeal to me.
Very good. Rounding out day 2 is the Copper Horse Handicap over a mile and 6. 5 places here, Frank. Fujera Prince, 7-2 favourite. Ranch Hand for the inform. Andrew Bowling is 5-1 second favourite. A few quid knocking around for that as well. Collide, 6-1. Floating Artist, 11s. All Right Sunshine, 12s alongside the Max We Can and Almania and Salino. And it's 16-1 bar. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I can see why the money's come for Ranch Hand. He was impressive winning at Haydock two starts ago, and Trushan, who was second, franked the form. He went off favour for the Cesarevich. Disappointed there, but you forgive him that. Like, I think he was 8 or 9 to 1 this morning. He's into 5 to 1 now. Quite a move. The one I thought was very interesting is Floating Artist for Richard Hannon. He won his debut at Goodwood over a mile. That was a fair run. He was second in a listed race as a 2-year-old, then behind Great Scott, who's a beautiful horse. And he's rated up around 109. On his handicap debut last year, he beat a horse called Faylak of William Haggis, who was very well regarded. Now, he won that race off a mark of 100. Faylak was running off a mark of 93. Faylak's now rated 105. So it was quite a feat to beat in that day. And he only got £5 for that. But it's actually the next start in the Group 3 Gordon Stakes at Goodwood that really caught my eye. He was only beaten a length and a half. And the form's worked out really well. The third in AF Road, finishing third in the Ledger. And he won the Sagaro Stakes this year. The second Constantinople was second to the Ledger when a Logician up in York in the Voltigeur. The third Spanish Mission won a Group 1 in America. The sixth Technician won a Group 1 in France on Arc Weekend. And the eighth, Leo de Fury, was a very impressive winner at Leopardstown last weekend in the Group 2. So he's only gone up £5 from a handicap win to 105. And looking at that race, or that run in the Group 3, he looked fairly handicapped still, and he has course form. So he's buying a Nathaniel as well, so he should handle a bit of cost if it does rain more. And he's about, I think we're 11 or 12 to 1 with 5 places. It's probably fair enough each way bet. Although I do think Ranch Hand and Fajara Prince are going to be tough to crack.
Right, oh, day two, time for best bets. We will start with you, Frank Hickey. Best bet on day two of Royal Ascot 2020.
Win o'clock in the King George V Stakes.
Win o'clock for Frank Hickey. Paddy Power, best bet on day two.
For me, best bet on day two is first receiver for the Queen in the Hampton Court, the second race.
First receiver for the Queen and Ruby Walsh.
Oh, I think Japan will win, but Lord North each way.
Lord North each way for Ruby Walsh. There you have it, day two in a lovely little audio package for your punting pleasure. Thanks indeed to Frank Hickey.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks a million, Ruby Walsh.
Cheers, Tom.
And thanks a million, Paddy Power.
Cheers. Cheers. Good health, Tom.
Indeed. But most of all, thanks to you for listening. I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.